It's Gimel.
Rav Nosson Zal was talking about the shtar that's used, a contract that's used for transacting, for buying and selling, or for giving a gift. And Rav Nosson Zal showed us how this shtar, which is written in Hebrew, in Lashon Kodesh, is tied into the way Hashem created the world. Just as when Hashem created the world, the startup power of the whole world was the Chof Ches Asman Amaisa Bereshis, the 28 letters of creation. That was the koyach of the world. So too, if a person wants to make any change to the world, they want to change ownership of one item, of an item from a different person, you reconnect to that by writing the shtar. In the words of those, that shtar plugs into the original strength of Maisa Bereshis and changes it. Nimtzo she'ikar koyach hashtar hu al yidei she'oisis hashtar mekablin koyach me'oisis ha'toira. Therefore, what gives a shtar its strength is the fact that it receives its power from the letters of the Torah, Shehem Hachius Shel Kol Dover, which is the life force of every single object in this world. A house. What keeps that? What created the house? Letters of the Torah. What's the spiritual force that keeps that house together? Letters of the Torah. You don't see them, you can't touch them, but that's what's behind it. That's how things change ownership from one person to the other. Ach, bechinas matono hu lechoira rochoik me'atoira vein loyshoirish batoira lechoira. However, the concept of a gift seems to be very far from the Torah and doesn't seem to have any connection to the Torah. Ki ikar nesinas hatoira hoyo kedei sheyizke ho'odom lekabel schar olam haba b'schar avodosoi. Because it seems that the way Hashem designed the Torah is that there's no such thing as free. The whole concept of the Torah is you do these mitzvahs so that Hashem can justify giving you olam haba. V'lo yikabel matnas chinam, so that you should not be eating free bread in Gan Eden. Ki rak bishvil ze yordo haneshama boze ha'olam. Because this is the only reason why a neshama comes down to this world is kedei sheloi tihye nizaynis minahamo dekisufa, so that the neshama should not be eating bread, embarrassed, should not be feeling embarrassed, bread of shame. Rak b'schar ha-Torah shemekayim, but rather the neshama in Gan Eden should be eating bread that it earned to a degree as reward for the Torah that it kept. Notice the way the Arizal explains it. Where did the neshamos originate from? They originated from Gan Eden in a sense. Now Hashem takes the neshama from Gan Eden, sends it down to this world, and its mission is to get back up to Gan Eden. What kind of nonsense? Seems to be a waste. Why not leave it there to begin with? The answer is the Arizal explains that when the neshamos were in Gan Eden originally, even though they were having the pleasure was incomplete. Because whenever a person is given something for free, as much as they enjoy it, it can't be as good a pleasure as if the person feels they earned it to a certain extent. That's when they can feel the full measure of pleasure. And Hashem's love for Bnei Yisrael is such that He didn't want them to have a 98% pleasure. He wanted the pleasure to be 100%. I, the kasha, that in the process, 85% of people aren't going to make it back. They're going to get messed up. It's worth it. It's worth it for those 15%, those that are good, those that are ones that are going to make it in this world, that are going to succeed in getting to Gan Eden, their pleasure will be a shleimus. It'll have a shleimus to it. Nimtzo she'ikar ha-toyro hu rak lekabel schar avodosoi v'loi lekabel matnas chinam. So therefore it seems that the whole foundation of the Torah is reward, to receive reward, not nothing for free. V'ze yodua. Shekol dover muchruch sheyeloi shoirish bahatoira shehiachias shel kol dover. And we know that anything in this world, anything in existence, if it exists, it has to be plugged into the Torah. Otherwise, it couldn't exist. So if there's a concept of a gift in this world, it's got to have a shoirish in the Torah. Where is it? Vimkein bechinas matono, mashechot noisim lechaveroi matnas chinom mehechon sharoshe shel bechinas matono. This concept that Reuven has the ability to give Shimon something for free, person should say that that's against Judaism. It's against the foundation of Judaism. Judaism is built on the concept that there ain't no free. The whole purpose of an neshama coming to this world and the whole concept of the Torah is that people should not be eating for free. They should be eating earned. So it should be that in Judaism you're not allowed to give gifts. How is it that we see there is a concept of matona me'acha shikra toiru rak shiloi l'kabo matnas chinam kanal? Good question. Rav Nosson Zal always asks good questions. If he asks a question, it means that if you think into this, this is a problem. Ach, however, ikra b'chinas matono sharoshay mi'b'chinas hanal hamavoyer b'maymar hanal. However, you should know that the concept of a gift is tied into what Rabbeinu Zal discusses in that chapter on Likut Eman that we're referencing here.
Can you rephrase the question?
Yes. The question is that it appears that the foundation of Judaism is based on that there's no such thing as free. Or certainly that it's preferred that there shouldn't be free. Proof is, we're taught in the writings of the Arizal and everything, that that's the reason why the Jewish neshamas come down to this world. Hashem could have given us Gan Eden without having to go through all the hassle and mess and problems of this world. Why in the world did Hashem send us into this junkyard and everything? What for? The answer is, because Hashem preferred that we should not be in Gan Eden for free. That we should go through a process whereby we earn our Gan Eden to a certain extent, even though it's nonsense. What are you talking about? Anytime you do a mitzvah in this world, you didn't do it. Hashem helped you do it. You couldn't do it without Hashem's help. But to a certain extent, in a certain way, you did something. You gave the ratzon. You wanted to do it. So you at least get... There's something that you contributed so that when you get to Gan Eden, you can have that certain satisfaction that I did something to earn it. So if that's the case, it seems to be that the concept of gift is anti-Jewish. It's against the foundation of Judaism. Because Judaism is based on the Torah. The whole Torah is designed so that nothing should be for free. The mitzvahs, every single mitzvah is to give you the opportunity to earn your Gan Eden. So it seems that gift is anti-Torah. It's outside the Torah. If it's outside the Torah, it's outside creation. Rav Nosson Zal explains now, Ach ikr b'chinas matono shorosh mi'b'chinas hanal mavur b'maymar nal. Dahainu, mi'b'chinas ha'anhogo shol koidem matan Torah. This question would be perfect if Hashem gave the Torah on day one of creation. But we know Hashem didn't give the Torah on day one of creation. So it seems that there is something besides the Torah. That the Torah isn't the only thing in this world, or else what sustained the world for the first 2,447 years? The world was in existence, and the Torah wasn't given officially until the year 2,448. How did Hashem conduct the world? What was the fuel? What fueled the world during that period of time? She'oz ha'yoha oylam misnaheg b'chazdoi. Then the world existed on Hashem's chesed. B'dechinas oitzar matnas chinam kanal. It was plugged into channel 2 in Shemayim, which is called this oitzar matnas chinam, this treasury of free gifts. V'gam achshov. And now Rav Nosson Zal explains, even today, even after the Torah was given, afilu la'achar kabolas ha'Torah, the main thing that keeps most of this world alive is not justice, because if it were for justice, most of us would be in the garbage. What keeps the world alive mostly is this Oitzer Matnas Chinam. Ki yesh kamo anoshim pshutim boilam. There's a lot of non-Talmidei Chachamim in the world, non-Sadikim. V'yesh kamo rishoim boilam. And there are people that are anti, go against the Torah. Sheloi ho yolehem shum kiyum al yedei ha-Torah. Where if the Torah were the only source of life, they'd be dead. They would have no kiyum. Me'achar shein amoyskim ba-Torah. Since they are not involved in Torah at all, how could they exist? Rak ikur kiyumom al yedei bechinas matnas chinam. Therefore, their existences that they're drawing from this channel too, this oitzer matnas chinam, ukemavoyer hoinyan heitev shom b'maymar hanal, as is explained very elaborately in that chapter on Likutei Moran, that there is this existence, that this is what Hashem turns on when a Jew commits a sin. When a Jew commits a sin and cuts his connection to the Torah, it should be ish b'cheta yumas. Where is he drawing his life from? The answer is he's got an oxygen tank. It's not permanent, but it's enough to sustain him until he'll do tshuva, or until Hashem's patience will run out, chas v'shalom. You understand? Hashem gives a person this second place to draw from until the person gets back and reconnects himself to the Torah. And it's based on that concept that we have this concept in the physical world of gifts being given from one to another. There must be this concept of a gift in the world. Because without that, the world couldn't exist. If Hashem weren't capable of allowing a Jew to exist for free, the world would be gone. Because most Jews do things whereby alpi justice, Hashem can't justify their existence. So therefore, if Hashem didn't have this potential, this ability to give for free, the world would be destroyed, chas v'shalom. That's why the Gemara says, when Hashem first created the world, Bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim v'aretz. In the beginning, He wanted to create it with Elokim, with justice. But He saw that if He would do that, He wouldn't have a world. He wouldn't have a world. Because Adam Rishon sinned, wipe out the world, and start out. Every time people sin, wipe out the world. So therefore it says, Hashem was mishatef chesed tedin. That's why it says later in the pasuk, B'yoyim broy Hashem Elokim eretz v'shamoyim. It says Yud Kei Vav Kei and Elokim. Hashem had to have this second channel called Chesed, to which to be able to use. Ube'emes gam koyde matn Torah shoyim esnai goylam bechasdei b'mat naschinam gam oz hoyso haTorah b'metzius. You might ask, but hold on a second. You're telling me that the Torah wasn't given officially to the world until 2400. But we're told that Avram Avinu kept all the mitzvahs, even Eruv Tchumen, and so the Torah existed. It just was. So Rav Nosson Zal says, in truth, even before Matan Torah, the Torah was in existence. Rak shehoyson ne'elemes. It was just hidden. Ki ha'asera sadibrois ha'yu klulim ba'asera mamorois. The Ten Commandments were folded into and hidden in the Ten Statements of Creation. Yehi oyer, yehi rokia, all of that was a hidden form of the Aseret HaDibros. Shehem koyach maisa bereishis, kemavur heita b'maranal. That was the strength behind creation. Nimtza, shebechinas matono, shesharoshe mebechinas hanogo, shel koyde matan toira, shebechinas soitza matnaschinam kanal, shom hatoira ne'elemes behelam kanal. Rav Nosson Zal says, therefore, you should know that it's not that this channel too has nothing to do with the Torah. It has to do with the Torah. It has to do with the hidden portion of the Torah. There's the Torah openly and the Torah hiddenly. There's the Nigla Sheba Torah and the Nistor Sheba Torah. Just as before Matan Torah, the Torah was in the world. It's just it wasn't anywhere near as public as it was after Matan Torah. No, you know, it was taught from generation to generation only to a few people. It's afterwards that Hashem went public at Matan Torah. So too, this concept of Matana, it's not that it has no connection to the Torah at all, but rather it's plugged into the Torah Ne'elemes, the hidden portion of the Torah. V'zeh she'tiknu chazal, this is why the Chachamim made a takono, she'tzorich lichtoi b'shtar Matana, that when a person writes a document stating that they're giving something to somebody else, they have to write on it, kosvuhu b'shuka, v'chosmuhu b'bro. They wrote this in the marketplace and they signed this out in the open. So that this shouldn't be like a hidden item, like an undercover kind of item. This is what the Gemara says. Rav Nosson Zal explains. Ki bechinas matono tzrichin behechrech lefarsim. Because this gift, you must publicize it, kidei lohoitzi me'ahelem elagiloi, to bring it out from hiding into the open. Because in the concept of gift, the Torah is very hidden over there. Therefore, the mitzvah is to publicize it. And to write this kind of a shtar out in the open, in the marketplaces, in the streets, כדי לפרסם שגם שום בבחינס מתונו יש גם כן תוירה נעלמס. To publicize it, to inform the world that even in מתונו there's also תוירה there. It's this hidden תוירה. וידי זה עיקר קיום המתונו. And that's what gives strength and life to the gift. That's what makes it that the gift should have a chiyus. Ki ein lahamatono kiyum kiyem al yidei oisiyas ha-Torah. Shehem achiyus shel kol dovor. We said that there's nothing in this world that can exist without the letters of the Torah in it. So if you're telling me that matono is something outside of the Torah, what's it existing on? The answer is that it's existing on this Torah ne'elemes, this hidden Torah in a sense. It's through the letters of the Torah that one person can be zeichet as something from someone else. Therefore, the concept of a gift cannot be permanent unless it's publicized. Because that's how you're taking the hidden Torah and revealing it. That's the tikkun for the matona. That makes it that the matona should have a kiyum. Ki kolz man shehatoyra behelam ein lehoilam kiyum. Because as long as the Torah is hidden, it's not good enough to be able to support the world on any permanent level. Bebechinas, as the Gemara says, ro'o she'ein ho'olam miskayim. Hashem saw that the world couldn't exist unless he would go public, unless he would give the Torah publicly. Ki ikar kiyum ho'olam alidei hizgalus ha'Torah. Because the main thing that sustains the world and gives energy to the world is not when the Torah is kept hidden, but when the Torah is publicized. Ki af al pi shehoyo misnaig ho'olam b'chazdoi koydem matan Torah. Even though the world existed before matan Torah, im kol ze kol ha'olam hayo tolui va'oymed ad yoyim kabbalas ha'Torah. The Gemara says it was shaky. It wasn't on solid ground. It was tolui. It was hanging in midair. K'mo yishom razal, as the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos daf peches, when we say yoyim hashishi vayichulu hashmayim boretz, what does that mean? On the sixth day, heaven and earth was complete. Why doesn't it say yoyim shishi vayichulu? What's the hashishi? On the sixth day. The Gemara says that doesn't mean the sixth day of creation. That means on 6 days in Sivan, when Hashem gave the Torah 2,448 years later, that's when Vayichulu Hashemayim Boretz. That's when heaven and earth were really completed. Until then, they were sort of shaky. This is what the Gemara says. So when, even though the Torah was in existence, but in hiding, the world was shaky. When Hashem went public with the Torah, that's what really established the world. Therefore, officially, a gift, in order for it to be a permanent gift, it's only when it's publicized. That this document is written in public and it's made public knowledge. Lahavdil, you see this in certain documents, even in English law, in civil law, where they say, you know, notified to the public
in newspapers.
Exactly. To publicize that in that place there's also Torah. Those words of the contract, those symbolize the letters of the Torah. That makes it that the gift should have a kiyum, it should be permanent. Because the main permanence of something is dependent on the Torah, the revelation of the Torah. Because even before Hashem gave the Torah publicly, the Torah was in existence, it was just hidden. And the Gemara says that the world was shaky at the time. V'toloi va'oymed, it was hanging. Those are the words that are used in the Gemara. Ad yoyim kabolas ha-Torah, until the day that the Torah was given publicly, she'oz nizgala ha-Torah. Then the Torah was revealed. V'yotza mehela melagilu kanal, it went out from hiding into the open. Baruch Hashem le'olam, amen v'yomein. But Moses says, this is the explanation. So this is why al pi haloch, al pi shulchan aruch, somebody gives somebody a gift, and they want to make sure that nobody can come and say later, this isn't yours, it's not yours, it was his. Prove that it's yours, you could either have a bill of sale, or a shtar matona, And the Shtar Matana has to have these words, kosvu b'shuko, they public it. Why is it necessary to publicize? The answer is because if it's written, if they write those words, kosvu b'shuko, it emphasizes that even Matana is also connected to the Torah. It's hidden Torah. However, when you write it in a Shtar, it's a form of revealing this hiding.
It says that anybody who's not connected completely to the Torah, even nowadays,
yes,
so
is connected to the hidden Torah, in a sense, which is called this Oitzar Matnas Chinam.
It was before that, sustain the world before the giving of the Torah.
Exactly.
Enough to give it enough life to exist. You know?
Correct.
So what I understand is, if this concept of giving something free of charge, yeah?
Yes.
It sustains itself from that, so why are we making it public? I don't understand.
Because he's saying that we're told that that's not the tikkun. That when the world was in that state, if that was good enough, then why did Hashem go public with the Torah? If we see that the world was able to exist without a Torah, why did Hashem go public with it? There was that chesed chinam, everybody was living and eating. The answer is, it looked like it was on solid ground. It wasn't on solid ground. Just like any of these goyim or a bal tshuva, a person does sins, and the fact that he's alive, he's on shaky ground. Even though Hashem is giving him life and parnasa and other things, he's on shaking ground. Until you go public, until you connect with the Torah begilui, that's when you're on solid ground. Yoim hashishi vayichudu ashamayim v'aretz. Until then, even though it looks like everything is cool, it's not cool. It's 90%. It's 80%. It's 10%. It just looks like it's all regular. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
That's the punchline.
So Abraham Avinu, Adam Arishon,
yes.
All those people were living from
yes, from this.
So
although Abraham Avinu was keeping the Torah, we said Abraham Avinu. But the fact that it was hidden, the fact that relative to the world, the Torah was hidden. Their chiyus wasn't as high in certain ways as the chiyus after Matan Torah. For sure. But he quoted you two Gemaras, he proved it. The Gemara says, the Olam was toloi vayimei. So that means if Avraham Avinu lived before the Matan Torah, you mean he was in the air? Yeah, he was in midair, like a little bit, relative to Moshe Rabbeinu and the others, who after the Torah was given, and Hashem grounded the world, then everybody was on much more solid footing.
So when the Mashiach comes, Bezrat Hashem soon,
then there's going to be the ultimate revelation. Ultimate revelation. Ki molo ha'oretz deyas Hashem kamay. That's going to be the ultimate revelation. That's when everything's going to get its tikkun. Halacha Gimel. Also based on this same chapter on Likutei Moharan. So again, we're going to get more clarification on this. Don't worry. Kol matanta de loiksiv bo kosvu b'shuka v'chosmu b'bro lav matanta hi. The Shulchan Aruch says, any gift where in the Shtar it doesn't say these words, it's not an official gift. Rav Nosson Zal explains, Ki mevoyor bedivrei Rabbeinu Zal b'hatoyro hamascheles b'inyan hanhogas hapshitus shel atzadik oemes b'likutei Moharan tanina siman ayin ches. Rabbeinu Zal explains over there, v'haklal b'kitzur, to sum up what Rabbeinu Zal says over there is, sheyesh oitzar matnas chinam. Shemi she'en loy shum zchus humekabel misham. A person who has no zchus to be given al pi justice, Hashem gives him from that oitzer matnas chinam. It's brought that they say about one of the Breslover, I think it's Reb Sender Trovitzer, one of the Breslover that lived about 100 years ago, that somebody once came to Rabbeinu Zal Sion in a morning, like 7 o'clock in the morning. And they saw that he was starting to say Tikkun HaKlali, and he was up to the Hirotzayim that you say before Tehillim. In the Hirotzayim before Tehillim, you have these words, Umei Oitzar Matnas Chinom Choneini. Hashem, please give me from this Oitzar Matnas Chinom. This person went to Davin Shachris, went to eat, came back to the Tzin, and this Reb Sender Trovitzer was still up to these words, Umei Oitzar Matnas Chinom Choneini. That was, he had said it 1,000, 2,000 times. Each time brand new, begging Hashem, you know, Hashem, please give me from this free gift. Implying that he believed 1,000,000,000% that he didn't deserve anything from Hashem. He was just begging and begging and begging to be given from that free gift. That's Breslov. Could be. I don't know. Big tzaddik, Avod Hashem, everything, of course.
Why did he need that?
Could be. When these people daven, they're not davening for themselves. They're davening for the whole Klal Yisrael. Why does a tzaddik say, Hashem no bagadno? You would say it's a lie. It's lying. kind of baloney. The answer is Hashem knew. We. He's saying it on behalf of everybody else.
Also true. Of course.
Also true. Rav Nosenthal says here, Ach ein yecholim lekabel mishom kiim hatzadikim amitim. However, the only ones who have permission to receive from that treasury in heaven is only the true tzaddikim. They're the only ones who have access to that oitzer matnas chinam. Hainu ki afilu hatzadik behechrich sheyivatel atzmoy. So the question is how? If the tzaddik is always justified in getting his earnings, how does Hashem make it that he should have to come on to that? How does Hashem make it that there should be any connection between the tzaddik and this freebie place in heaven? The answer is, Rabbi Nathal explains over there, Hainu ki afilu hatzadik behechrich sheyizbatel atzmoy lefamim min ha-Torah. Hashem created the world in such a way that even the biggest tzaddik has to interrupt his study of Torah sometimes for going to the bathroom, for sleeping, for eating, for all of those things. Ki bitulo shel Torah zui kiyuma. The Gemara says that there's a concept of a bitul of Torah which is necessary for kiyuma Torah. V'oz, b'shor shehatzadik emes botel min ha-Torah, during those moments when the tzaddik emes is not involved in Torah, he goes to the bathroom. In the bathroom, you're not allowed to think divrei Torah. V'oz hu ish poshut mamish. At that moment, the tzaddik becomes a regular guy, in a certain sense. Shekoyrin prostik. In Yiddish, it's called like a simple person. Oz hu mekabel chius mikiyum hoylam koydem atin Torah. Then, the tzaddik taps into that place that kept the world alive before Matan Torah, shehu bechinas oilam chesed yibone, that when the world was created from start, it was created with chesed, bechinas oitzer matnas chinam, shi bechinas ha-Torah ne'elemes, this is the hidden Torah, shezeo bechinas ha-derech le'eretz Yisrael, which is called the derech to Eretz Yisrael. This is the way that one gets to Eretz Yisrael. Why? What's the connection there? Because the Gemara says derech Eretz, Kodmo la Torah. What is the way to get to Eretz Yisrael? The way is by that which precedes the Torah. What precedes the Torah? This Oitzar Matnas Chinam, this Chesed Chinam. You understand? This is Rabbi Nizal's play on words, that when it says Derech Eretz, Kodma la Torah, that how do you get, what's the Derech to Eretz Yisrael? It's through that which preceded the Torah. What preceded the Torah? This Oitzar Matnas Chinam, this Chesed Chinam. Ki ikar Eretz Yisrael al yidei koyach ma'asov. Rabbi Nizal explains over there that the main concept of the Jews having any possession of Eretz Yisrael is based on the fact that Hashem wrote in the beginning, I made everything, and I have the right to give it to anybody and to take it away from them. V'gam achshov. And even nowadays, Rabbi Nizal says over there, boin Yisrael lefa'omim lemekoymoy sorechoykim mehagdusha moid. There are certain times that the Yidden come to places that are very, very far from the Kiddusha, like Borough Park and Williamsburg, all places outside of Eretz Yisrael. Or even in Eretz Yisrael, there could be certain places that are very, very far from the Kiddusha. Vayuchoylen and Deal, New Jersey. All these places. Vayuchoylen loymar lohem listimatem. And the Goyim would be able to say to the Jews, you're thieves, you're robbers. How do you have rights to be here? How do you have a right to be in Eretz Yisrael? We were there before you. How do you have a right to be in this place in the Chutz Laaretz? This isn't your place. Avol. Al yedei sheyoidim shashem yizborach bora hakoil basoram amorois bechazdoi levad. However, when a Jew understands and realizes that Hashem created the world with those 10 statements, with his pure chesed to conquer all places, ulekadsham bekdusha Eretz Yisrael, and elevate them to the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, ki hakoil shelo yisbara, because everything belongs to Hashem, uberetzoinoi nosno lahem, and he with his rotzoin, he gave it to them, to the goyim, and with his decision, he decided to take it away from them and give it to us. Ayin shom kol zeh heitev heitev. Rav Nosenthal says, look over that chapter in the Kutimaran very well, because Rabbi Nizal explains this there. He doesn't just say this, he proves this all from Psukim and everything very, very clear. Va'ayin shom besoif, and look at the end of the chapter in the Kutimaran, ma'ashem avoyer shom, she'ikr hu tmimus upshitus ve'emuna. In this chapter on Likut Imran, Rabbi Nizal also emphasizes tremendously simplicity, super simplicity and faith. ve'ein shum yush bo'ilam, and there's no such thing as giving up hope. And even if a person's in the lowest place, they could still find Hashem there, just like we showed you now. If a person says, I violated every single mitzvah in the Torah, there's a channel too. There's this other place where he is from. Ayin Shom Kol Zehete. Rav Nosson says, look it over very, very well. Look over this chapter on the Likutei Moharan very, very well, because it's clear over there, and it'll give you a very good understanding to go into this halacha. Chapter Ayin Ches in part 2 in Likutei Moharan Tanina, section B of Likutei Moharan, the second half of Likutei Moharan. He said that in a certain sense, Rav Nosson seems to be the ultimate Zionist, in quotes. I was shown the book that the government here gives out to people in Chutz La'aretz to encourage Aliyah. They put out this fat book, 300-page book. The front page of the book, they have a statement, a quote from Rabbi Nachman, where Rabbi Nachman said that wherever I go, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. Any movement that I do, whenever I'm walking to Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Nachman said at the time he was living in Breslov, he said, my feet are walking in Breslov, but myself is only in Eretz Yisrael. And that's not just right, that's all tzaddikim. Rabbi Nachman brought it out. Who else, what other group in the world do you have a sefer called Sefer Eretz Yisrael, where Rabbi Nachman Shivarin Zal wrote an entire sefer taking every chapter in Likutei Moharan and showing how everything, all the tikkunim that Rabbi Nachman discusses in this whole chapter are found in Eretz Yisrael. What higher level Zionist, again, we're talking about Zionist love for Eretz Yisrael, can you have from that? Where he said that Rabbi Nachman's whole ideology, there isn't any topic that Rabbi Nachman discusses, Tikkun HaBrit, it's all Eretz Yisrael, it's all plugged into Eretz Yisrael. Elamai again, it's the Ruchnius here. And again, those people who are living Eretz Yisrael without Torah, they're missing the whole punch. It's not that they made Eretz Yisrael Tamei. They're still Kedusha. You still kiss the ground. But those that are living a life in Eretz Yisrael without Torah, they're missing the point. They're missing. It's a battery. You have a beautiful car. X got plush leather seats. The whole bag, gas. And just one thing. Somebody took out the battery, in a sense. In the Bet HaTfutzot, in the museum Bet HaTfutzot, on the wall, there's one whole wall, Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Breslov, wherever I go, I'm in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah? Yeah.